That song asks a profound question: is there room in your heart for God to write His story? The lyrics continue and says, "You can come as you are." One of the things I love most about this church and this group of people is that we have a real understanding that we are a broken mess. And yet, it is our desire to serve and love and tell the story of a God who takes care and takes in broken messes. It's a beautiful thing. The lyrics go on to say that if you'll make room in your heart for God to write His story, it will set you apart because God has come to raise the lowly. We have for the last 2 weeks been talking about gifts that we can give to King Jesus. And so I would ask, what gifts do you want to present to King Jesus? A couple weeks ago, we talked about presenting our future to Him. When we give Him our perceived future, we get in return a better future that is His future. When we give God our doubt, as we talked about last week, then we receive faith that begins to grow in that soil of doubt. And today I want to talk about you giving God your voice. Would you give your voice, your influence to King Jesus so that you can help others find a better future and grow a stronger faith? Each one of us has a voice. It's distinct. I can tell typically when I'm talking to somebody on the phone who's on the other end, usually because of caller ID, but in some cases I can recognize your voice. There are people that you and I know that have distinct voices. If I say Morgan Freeman, you immediately know what that voice sounds like. Or Kermit the Frog here, you immediately know what that voice sounds like. James Earl Jones, Willie Nelson, distinct voices. William Scott, the dulcet tones of William Scott. We need a William Scott app that when we're stressed out, we just play William Scott's voice to soothe us. Karen Carpenter, Sean Connery. Debbie's waiting for me to do my Sean Connery impersonation. Look at her. All right, from The Hunt for Red October, Sean Connery says, "Some things don't react well to bullets." It's pretty good, isn't it? I knew you'd think so. I'm not talking about our intonation, right? I'm not talking about that voice. What I'm talking about is the way we live out the words that we speak. Do they line up? Do they match? Each one speaks volumes every day, whether we use words or not. Our voice, our life, is our voice. So it's important that we talk about giving God our voice, giving God our influence, our impact in society. We live in a world that is struggling for answers to life's deepest questions. And we have the answer. His name is Jesus Christ. And some people say, well, I'm just going to live my life to demonstrate His character. That's fine, but that's only half the story. The other half is what you speak with your mouth. There are others who say, well, I'm going to speak with my mouth, but I'm not going to live the life. They have to run hand in hand, because when they run incongruent to each other, we have a problem, and the world sees this, and the world goes, I don't want any of that. The world does this to me all the time. One of the greatest gifts you can give King Jesus is a godly voice that matches a godly lifestyle. You say, well, I don't have a very big following. I'm not a real big influencer. Yes, you are. You have a sphere, and that is God's gift to you, and it is God's gift for you to influence. So influence well. Speak well. Use your voice well in that sphere. Proverbs chapter 18 says, wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. The words that you say, the words that you type, the words that you live out can bring death or they can bring life. Your words matter. It matters how you use them. It also matters if you don't use them. if you don't stand up for that which is right, if you don't stand up for that which is moral, if you don't stand up for that which is just, if you live a life that says, well, I'm just going to go along to get along, that also says something about you. It's interesting that most of the characters, the human characters in the Christmas narrative, don't really have a high rank. They don't really have a lot of Twitter followers. They're not very influential, if you will. Mary and Joseph, by all accounts, were poor and simple. Zechariah and Elizabeth were humble, and they were of low estate because Elizabeth couldn't bear a male son. The innkeeper, he ran a small business, but we get no indication that he was significant in the little town of Bethlehem. And even the little town of Bethlehem is not influential in the Christmas story. In fact, Micah, the prophet of the Old Testament, in chapter 5 says, "But you, O Bethlehem, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is to be of old, from ancient of days." But perhaps the least influential in all of the Christmas story is the shepherds. Oh, the poor shepherds. It was a tough gig being a shepherd. According to customs and tradition and religious and Jewish practices of the day, shepherds were considered ceremonially and ritualistically unclean. What that meant is that they could not participate in the temple. There were various reasons for that. First of all, they worked on Sunday, and that was a big no-no. Actually, it was the Sabbath. It was Saturday back then. They also had to touch the dead animals. They performed things like castration and other types of animal husbandry rituals that made them unclean and unacceptable to the religious establishment. They also had a terrible reputation among the townspeople in most cases. Do you know that it was against the law for a shepherd to be a witness at a trial? And so if you had been assaulted or victimized in some way, and the only witness to that was a shepherd, you were in trouble because the shepherd couldn't testify on your behalf. And the great irony of the shepherd's story in Luke chapter 2 is that outside of the family, the immediate family of Jesus Christ himself, God chose the shepherds to bring the message of the coming Messiah. Find Luke chapter 2, if you would, 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8 through 20. "And there were, living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said unto them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, the shepherds, the lowliest of low, and he is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and that they had seen, which was just as they had been told." In the story, we see the shepherds, the lowly shepherds, use their voice, their personality, to influence the people that they came in contact with as a result of this glorious encounter with God. How about you this Christmas season? How about you this Christmas season? Would you take up the responsibility of being an influencer for King Jesus? Christmas makes this
easy for us. People are open to hear the story of the nativity at this time of year more so than any other. Will you be a King Jesus influencer? Will you give baby Jesus your voice? Will you be willing to give him the gift of your influence? That's what the shepherds did. Let me talk about two things that the shepherds did that shows that they gave themselves to King Jesus. First is they vocalized their worship. Shepherds are tough characters. You need to understand that. Shepherds were wilderness woodsmen, live out in the field, live out in the elements, and they were responsible for fighting off the lions and the tigers and the bears. Thank you for playing along this morning. And wolves and robbers and anything that would come and attack and menace the flock. But again, we hear the angels come to them, and the first thing they say is what? Don't be afraid. Mary got the message. Zechariah got the message. Joseph got the message in a dream. And the shepherds get the message. Don't be afraid. Shepherds weren't prone to fear anyway. But you need to understand that the angels that you and I assume showed up to the shepherds that night didn't look like that. Those are lovely, but they're theologically incorrect. Angels in the New Testament and Old Testament are warriors, warrior messengers from God. Here's a quick look at the Greek language in Luke chapter 2, verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel, one angel, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, here's how the Greek reads, and there was with the angelos, plethos orianos straiha. Greek translation, and suddenly there was with the warrior messenger in all fullness, coming from the sky as an army, praising God and saying, oh my. And these warrior messengers in all fullness coming from the sky as an army were saying glory to God in the highest. They came praising God. And when the shepherds received the message, they had the exact same response. Their response to the heavenly host was to glorify God. Why? Because worship is the biblical and natural response when you have an encounter with the Most High. It's what happened to the paralyzed man whose friends tore off the roof and lowered him down to meet Jesus in Luke chapter 5. They left glorifying and praising God. It's what happened in Luke again, chapter 7, verse 11. When Jesus raised a woman's son from the dead, they left glorifying and praising God. It's what happened in Luke chapter 13, when a woman who walked around like a candy cane because she had a bad back, left stooped and hunched, was healed, and she stood upright and straight for the first time in 18 years. They left glorifying and praising God. Worship is not the warm-up for the preaching. Worship is your response from your grateful heart to a loving God who has given you the grace of His Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive you of your sin. And worship should be our response every single day, because every day that I wake up, the Scripture tells me that those mercies that saved me back when I was 22 are new to me every morning, and that every day I get a do-over when Christ is my Savior. If you've genuinely experienced the saving grace of Christ and the saving grace of Christmas, your most natural response should be to vocalize that through worship. How's your worship? How's your worship in the pandemic? How's your worship in isolation? How's your worship? If you can't worship, or if you won't worship, maybe it's simply because you have chosen religion and you've never established a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if your regular response is bitterness and angst and anger, and frustration and fear and anxiety, then one of two things is true. First of all, you've never known Christ, you're just pretending. Or number two, Christ is so far away from you, he's not influencing you for his good and for his kingdom in the here and now. Maybe the gift you need to give Jesus this Christmas is you need to legitimately make a conscious choice to believe in and belong to him and stop being religious. Religion can't save you. Your works can't save you. But an encounter with the living God can change everything about who you are and what you think and how you feel and how you respond to a world that is in chaos and crazy crisis. Some of the buzz has kind of gone away about this, but a couple summers ago, well, last summer, I guess, in 2019, rapper, producer, musical bad boy Kanye West made quite the stir in the music community by talking about an encounter that he had with King Jesus. And he talked about how Jesus has changed his life, and he began to make statements and kind of go on a little tour to let this proclamation be made. And people ask me, so what do you think? Is Kanye serious? Look, I don't know about anybody's salvation except my own. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I have given my life to Jesus Christ. Does that mean I'm perfect? No. That means my imperfections are glaring to me and I try every day to keep them at bay. I don't know if he had a life-changing experience. I don't know if you've had a life-changing experience, and you don't know if anybody else has had a life-changing experience either. That's why I got to throw these things out to you this morning, because I care about you having a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. I am lending my voice to help you, to help anybody that'll listen. What I do know is that there has been a personality change of sorts for Kanye. I spent some time this week reading the lyrics to an album that he put out in October of 19 entitled Jesus is King. First of all, I can't argue with the title. And there are several songs on there, and in reading, I've probably read six of them or eight of them. I found little nuances that I may not exactly agree with, but by and large, the lyrics in the album are spot on theologically. Got a song in there called God Is. Listen to the words. I'll not sing it for you, by the way. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Worship Christ with the best of your portions. I know I won't forget all that he has done. He is the strength in this race that I run. Every time I look up, I see God's faithfulness, and it shows just how much he is miraculous. I can't keep it to myself. I can't sit here and be still. Everybody, I will tell, till the whole world is healed. King of kings, Lord of lords, all the things that he has in store, from the rich to the poor, all are welcome through the door. I don't know if Kanye is born again or not, but I do know the lyrics of that song are spot on. What am I saying? I'm saying that when Jesus encounters your life, the natural response to that encounter is vocalizing your worship. The shepherds did it. You and I should give God what he deserves by vocalizing our worship. It's an appropriate response. The second appropriate response that we see from the shepherds is to express encouragement. I want you to notice three things. The shepherds encouraged each other. The shepherds encouraged Mary and Joseph, and the shepherds encouraged anyone who would listen. Verse 15, when the angel went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another. You see, the shepherds understood immediately that we probably ought to hold each other accountable if we're going to follow the message of this angel, because this makes absolutely no sense. And so they discussed it amongst themselves and said, well, look, he was pretty specific in his instructions, so let's go do what he said. We love it when it happens in the Bible story, but when it happens in our real life and someone asks us to be accountable for the testimony that we have and the life that we live, we bristle. We don't want to be held accountable. But they encouraged each other. And that's the problem. We have missed in church the purpose of encouragement. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, the reason we gather together on Sundays is not so the preacher can brag about how many he had in the building. The scripture says that the reason we gather together on Sundays is for the purpose of spurring one another on. I can't be your cheerleader if you ain't here. And you can't be mine if you ain't here. And so the church is called to gather. I can't help you help others. You can't help me help others. They encouraged each other. They also encouraged Mary and Joseph. Verse 16. And they, the shepherds, went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Obedience was immediate. They looked at each other and go, ooh, we've been called to accountability here. We probably ought to spur one another on and go do what we're told. And so they immediately left with haste. I want to know who stayed by and watched the flock. I don't think they cared. They'd had an encounter with heaven. We talked a couple weeks ago that Gabriel comes to Mary and Gabriel comes to Zechariah. And in one of those stories, Gabriel says, I have just left the throne room, is basically what he says. And I've just left the throne room because I got a message for you. Not only did the angel come and speak to them, but an entire army came from the throne room and said, here's the message, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. What an encounter they had had. Now, Mary had already seen an angel face to face. So she had to be comforted by the fact that, wow, it's happened to somebody else. It's happened to somebody else of low estate. It's happened to somebody else of low stature. They had an encounter with the angel. Joseph hadn't seen an angel. Joseph got his message in a dream. And don't you know Joseph was giddy to wake up or to get up and greet these shepherds and go, wait a minute, this happened to Mary. You telling me it happened to you too? Well, hallelujah. One of the great gifts we give each other by gathering together in worship is similar experience. They encouraged Mary and Joseph. But they also encouraged anyone who would listen. Verse 18. And all who heard. All who heard what? All who heard the babblings of these crazy shepherds. They're scratching their head. Wait a minute, shepherds are scoundrels, but these shepherds are different. What happened to these shepherds? What got into these shepherds? Could it be the warrior armies bringing the message from the throne room of God? And I want you to be comforted this morning because the message has not changed in 2,000 years. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God, say it with me, so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have eternal life. Let me be clear on this next statement. Jesus does not need you to give your voice to him and his cause and his influences. The scripture says that if you won't do it, the rocks will cry out. But Jesus wants you to. He wants you to want him. He wants you to live an example for him. Somebody you know needs to be encouraged with the truths of the gospel today. Somebody you know needs to see your life lived out as a gospel example. It starts in the context of your own home. Embrace your imperfections and run to a perfect God in your own home. Encourage one another with these truths in your own home. It spills over to your closest friends and associates. It splashes in highways and byways as you go on and contact everyone in your everyday life. Vocalize your worship and express your encouragement. You may be here this morning and you're like, Pastor Kevin, it's going to be awkward if I talk about the Jesus story. And I will give you that We live in a world that does not resonate with the things of Christ. But let me offer this to you as well. I promise you, it's going to be more awkward on Judgment Day if you don't talk to people about the Jesus story. We are accountable for how we have lived our life. We are accountable for the words that we have said in living our life. We are responsible for the worship that we have offered. We are responsible for our gospel and biblical influence to people that come across our path. Do you draw people to Jesus or do you push people away from Jesus? Yes, it is awkward to have gospel conversations in the 21st century. But it will be more awkward on Judgment Day if we neglect having conversations in the 21st century. It's a simple conversation. There are three components to sharing the gospel story. Hey, this is what my life was like before I met Jesus. This is how and when I met Jesus. This is what my life is like since I have met Jesus. Boom, boom, boom. You should be able to do that in 90 seconds to 2 minutes. My prayer for you during this time of invitation is that you would make a commitment for your life to match the response of the shepherds. Will you go from this place and live your life to glorify God and to praise God for all the things that He has done and that you have seen? Will you praise God through your worship, and will you praise God through the encouragement you give to other people? There is room in His heart for you. Is there room in your heart for Him to write His story?